Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Emmaus disciples, they're on the way to Emmaus and Jesus comes to them. Well, I couldn't help but select this text for your confirmation day today. Ruby, Ella, Sophia, Jordan, Reese, Nathan, Scott, Michael, and Will. We've been on a bit of a journey, haven't we? Our journey started 13 months ago. And along that journey, you've been journeying with me and also with Kate. As we deepen ourselves in the scriptures, as we look at what we're taught as Lutherans, as we grow in faith. And there along the way, you had many a conversation with Jenny, sitting around the table and listening to some of her life experiences of what it meant for her faith. And along that way, things have happened, things have been deepened. And I'm not just talking about you fellas' voices. And I've noticed that you've grown taller, a lot taller. But in that journey, there's also a growing in stature, a growing in knowing Jesus. And there's a tremendous comparison between what Jesus does here for his disciples on that Emmaus road on the day of his resurrection as for what he's done for you. They were very downhearted, these two disciples, weren't they? It was pretty much bad news. And what happened? Jesus came to them. And he joined them in the conversation. And what did he do? He sought to understand them. He sought to learn where they were at and what they were discussing. And what did he find out? They'd lost their hope. And their hope was in him. We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. He was the one who was going to be our Saviour. He was the one that we could look to. He'd done such marvellous things. And what happened when that hope was gone? Now they're downcast. There's nothing to look forward to. And even going back to the place where they live is no fun at all. So where did Jesus go to give them hope? We're told that he went to Moses and the prophets. There in Moses and the prophets, he began to explain himself and point to himself as the very one who is their Saviour, but that it would take something very specific, that he would have to suffer and he would have to die. He would have to lay down his life in order to save you and me. And so he revealed to them himself through the scriptures. They got interested along the way, very interested, because when they got close to home, they strongly urged Jesus to stay with them. They wanted to know more. They'd just scratched the surface. And knowing Jesus, what could we expect? He wants to fill them with hope, and so he goes to stay with them. And there, around the table for the evening meal, Jesus did something that they were very accustomed to. They had seen him perform miracles with bread. And so what did he do? He took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them. And it's there that their eyes were opened. Not just their eyes physically to see him, to recognise him. Now they had the eyes of faith. Jesus, it's you. You're alive. You're here right with us right now. Imagine the ecstatic emotion that they must have experienced right at that moment. And not only were their faith eyes opened, they recognized, you are our Savior. Those things that you were explaining on the way here now make sense. What you brought to us from the Scriptures is now clear. And what did Jesus do? Did he hang around, get them to pat him on the back, to bow down at his feet? No. He disappeared. He vanished. He was no longer seen. But what did he leave them with? He left them with his word, the very word that they exclaimed, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and as he opened the Scriptures to us? Dear confirmees, you've had the Scriptures open to you. Very basically, really. The basics of the faith. We started that journey with Genesis, didn't we? Genesis 3:15. And we went through to 1 Corinthians 15. Genesis 3:15, of course you all know that off the tip of your heads, don't you? The first promise of God of the gospel. The seed of the woman will crush your head, Satan, and in so doing, you will bruise his heel. That promise given in that garden when Adam and Eve sinned, pointing forward to Jesus coming and what he would have to do to save, he would have to die on a cross. But it would be something that would not hold him dead for long, like a bruised heel. 3 days later, the Lord Jesus is risen. And in that journey, the Scriptures have been open to you, and it's been an absolute joy to see you grapple with what God is doing at work in you. And that's what he does. He starts with a blank canvas, and he started with a blank canvas for you in your baptism, and he continues to want to feed you his word and continue that beautiful painting where he fleshes out who you are in him. And there's lots of parallels that we could think of. There's sometimes a reluctance to want to go into the Scriptures. And what does Jesus do? He keeps giving you opportunity. And along the way, if you have a look, I wonder what you would say. Were there times when your heart burned within you, hearing quite clearly that Jesus had suffered for you, he laid down his life for you, he carried all your sin to that cross, and he removed the shame that is on you by taking it on himself. And he even took all the sin that was done to you by others and relieved you of that hurt and pain by taking it there. That burning of the heart is something his Spirit does as he leads you into that word. But as I said, as we got to the end of those lessons, you're on the first rung of the ladder. The first rung of the ladder. Now, for us older ones here, we probably know what the first rung of the ladder means, don't we? We've just taken that initial step. I was interested when I was with the confirmees and I said this, I asked the question, do you know what it means to be on the first rung of the ladder? And none of you knew. But that little phrase, when we look at it in terms of relationship with Jesus, it means you're just beginning. It's just the start. And now the question is, Jesus has come into your heart, he's warmed you with that forgiveness of sins, he's brought to you the gospel. Are you going to invite him in? Are you going to ask him to stay? Have you been warmed up enough to say, I want to hear more? Have you felt that joy of knowing your Saviour to the point where you want him to stay with you? That's what today is the beginning of. For you to receive the Holy Spirit in God's blessing, for the Spirit to lead you to continue to grow. And it's not just for you today, it's for every one of us. For every one of us who has not heard what Jesus has done for us, it's an opportunity to hear. And for every one of us who has confirmed our faith, our life in Him, it's a time to focus again. For through our lives, there's many times, and it doesn't matter who we are, whether you're pastor or not, there are times when we struggle to get to the second rung of the ladder. So what happens? What happens when you took your eyes off Jesus? Well, Jesus looked for you. When you turned your back on Jesus, Jesus came to you. When you didn't see your need for Jesus, Jesus kept your need in His mind and let it drive His will. When you thought you could be a great Christian by what you do, Jesus went to the cross with your pride. When you paid little thought of what it means for God to love you, Jesus showed His love by giving His life on a cross. When you lost hope, Jesus prayed for you. And when you gave little thought about dying and going to heaven, Jesus rose again and He came to restore your hope. That's the gospel. The gospel that He is there coming to you. The gospel is not, there is Jesus, follow Him, do what He did. We'd never manage that. We'd never meet that requirement. But what does He keep doing for you? Just like those disciples, He keeps taking you back to the Word, back to listen to Him. Every time you come to God's Word, you're face to face with the risen Lord Jesus. And He comes to you to love you, to serve you, to feed you, to give you hope, and to give you life. And that life cannot be taken away. And look what He did for those disciples on the Emmaus Road. As He spoke the word to them, by His Spirit, their hearts burned within them. You can expect Him to keep doing that in your life. And if that's not enough, what else did He do? He came around their table. He broke bread. He gave thanks. And He gave it to them. It's the very thing He's doing today. He is here with His body and blood coming to you, breaking bread, giving thanks to the Father, giving you His very body and blood to strengthen your faith and to assure you that you belong to Him. And you can walk with Him with a living hope that knows you have an inheritance that can't be taken away, that can't spoil or fade, that inheritance that belongs to you, your place with Him, not just in this life, no, it's with Him in eternal life. That place in heaven forever. So listen to Jesus. He's serious when He says, apart from Me, you can do nothing. He is serious when He said, if you continue in My word, you are truly My disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I'm going to try and go in reverse order. Dear Will, Michael, Scott, Nathan, Reese, Jordan, Sophia, Ella, and Ruby, your journey's begun. It's not with me. It's not with Kate. It's with Jesus. And that journey is one that He wants to keep going with you. He's going to keep offering Himself to come in that word. Every time you come into worship, your ears open, your heart's ready. Every time you come to receive His very body and blood, to be strengthened in that faith that overcomes the world. That faith that holds you sure that you have a Saviour that will never let you down. And a hope that is certain You will live with him through all of this life, whatever it has in store. You will know his love and his forgiveness. And you won't even have to fear death, because he will be with you through death to take you into eternal life and await the resurrection of the body on that last day. May he, our Lord Jesus, be there for you, make you holy, and may he, on that last day, show you blameless before the Father, in your spirit, in your mind, in your soul, and in your body. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from this time forward and forevermore. Amen.